This is the Wednesday, February 3rd, 2021 afternoon session of the Portland City Council. Keelan, good afternoon. Could you please call the roll?
Good afternoon. Rubio. Commissioner Rubio?
Here.
Ryan?
Here.
Hardesty?
Here.
Maps?
Here.
Wheeler?
Here. Under Portland City Code and state law, the City Council is holding this meeting electronically. All members of the Council are attending remotely by video or electronic communications. And the City has made several avenues available for the public to listen to the audio broadcast of this meeting. The meeting is available to the public on the City's YouTube channel, eGovPDX, www.portlandoregon.gov/video, and channel 30. The public can also provide written testimony to the Council by emailing the Council Clerk at cctestimony@portlandoregon.gov. The Council is taking these steps as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic and the need to limit in-person contact and to promote physical distancing. The pandemic is an emergency that threatens the public health, safety, and welfare, which requires us to meet remotely by electronic communications. As always, thank you all for your patience, your understanding, and your flexibility as we manage through these challenging times to conduct the City's business. With that, we'll hear from legal counsel on the rules of order and decorum. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. To participate in council meetings, you may sign up in advance with the council clerk's office for communications to briefly speak about any subject. You may also sign up for public testimony on resolutions or the first readings of ordinances. The published council agenda at portlandoregon.gov/auditor contains information about how and when you may sign up for testimony while the City Council is holding electronic meetings. Your testimony should address the matter being considered at the time. When testifying, please state your name for the record. Your address is not necessary. Please disclose if you are a lobbyist, and if you are representing an organization, please identify it. The presiding officer determines the length of testimony. Individuals generally have 3 minutes to testify unless otherwise stated. When your time is up, the presiding officer will ask you to conclude. Disruptive conduct such as shouting, refusing to conclude your testimony when your time is up, or interrupting others' testimony or council deliberations will not be allowed. If there are disruptions, a warning will be given that further disruption may result in the person being placed on hold or ejected from the remainder of the electronic meeting. Please be aware that all council meetings are recorded.
Thank you very much. We have one important proclamation on our agenda this afternoon. Keelan, can you please read item 79?
Proclaim February 2021 to be Black History Month.
Commissioner Hurst.
Thank you, Mayor. It is absolutely my pleasure to have us honor Black History Month this afternoon. Let me start by saying Black History is every day of the year, 365 days and 366 on a leap year. I am excited that we continue to honor and center Black voices at City Hall. And Ken has done a fabulous job as always and putting together the program for today. I did not get a list of the speakers, so I'm hoping one of our invited guests have planned to facilitate our conversation this afternoon. But let me just say, I welcome each and every one of you. You are at the People's House today, even if it is virtually. And I look forward to the next time that we have the opportunity to be in the same space and to share food and culture and opportunity. So without further ado, I will turn it over to the panel and hope that all of us will have additional comments after the panel has spoken. And at the end, I will read the proclamation. Thank you very much. And let me also say that one of the first conversations I had with Commissioner Mapps was about us jointly during a Black History something. And Commissioner Rubio also was absolutely committed from the moment her and I started talking about both of their service on the City Council. And so I am happy to say that though I have the privilege of reading the proclamation it absolutely shares the values of each and every one of us on Portland City Council. So thank you very much for being here. And without further ado, take it away.
So I'd like to start and introduce. My name is Jay Brannon. I work for the Bureau of Environmental Services. I'm one of the members of CAN Leadership. We are an affinity group through Diverse Empowered Employees of Portland. And this is the fifth or sixth year that CAN and its Black employees have volunteered their time to help organize Black History Month proclamations, something we continue to do and put together, sometimes very last minute and sometimes with much planning. It's a very different year than normal because we're doing this all virtually. Without further ado, I'd like to start by introducing, before we begin, with something a little different. We have a diasporic recognition to be read by the writer and artist Donovan Smith, who is also one of our testimonies. So he will begin, and then I will introduce all of our panelists after that. So thank you. Take it away, Donovan.
Thank you. Thank you, Jay. Can y'all hear me? You can hear me? Okay, thank you. Appreciate you inviting me into this space today. So I'm just gonna read this diasporic recognition. We recognize that the first enslaved Africans were brought to this land in 1619. We recognize the centuries of genocide, ethnic cleansing, and crimes against humanity that have been inflicted on the people who were made Black in this land. We are the architects of this land. We are the foundation of this country's wealth. Through colonization and genocide, this land became known as the Oregon Territory, encompassing lands in modern-day Washington, Idaho, Wyoming, and Montana, before finally becoming the 33rd state of America on February 14th, 1869. Despite the exclusion of our presence in state law, we have been here since the early days, living, stewarding, laboring, and building families in this land. We are the descendants of the Great Migration. We are the descendants of Vanport. We recognize that in the demise of Vanport, Albina became the home of the largest Black community in this land's history. While Albina became a nucleus to our Black community, we have continued to live and build throughout Oregon. We continue to live in all corners of this state. We've been here, we're still here. Thank you.
Thank you, Donovan, thank you. So I'd like to introduce our testimonies. We have a great panel of testimonies from our own City of Portland Black employees, as well as community members. We're going to get started first with Taisha McCool Riley. She is the city's sole mental health specialist and part of the CAN Leadership Board. Next up after Taisha, we will have Ariana Moorhead, who is a teen who is also Miss Black Teen Oregon Ambassador, to provide a testimony. Following Ariana, we have Donovan Smith, like I have said, writer and artist and member of several Black organizations in Portland doing this work every day in the streets. It's impressive. Our last speaker is our own Dr. Markeisha Smith, Director of the Office of Equity and Human Rights. We are thankful for her testimony as well. So with that, let's get started. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I am Taisha McCool Riley, and please flow with me. I am going to be looking at my big screen so that I can read my testimony for you all this afternoon. First, I would like to start off by saying good afternoon and welcome to the Black family. Those of you who work for the city, those who work in the city, those who live in the city, and those who serve in the City of Portland. We thank each of you for joining us today. Also, good afternoon and welcome to you, Mayor, and commissioners and all other city staff and affiliates. Thank you all for joining us as we acknowledge and celebrate Black History Month. Again, my name is Taisha McCool Riley. I am a Portland native. I am the one and only mental health program specialist for the City of Portland, working from the Office of Community and Civic Life. And I'm also part of CAN Leadership with the City of Portland Affinity Group. This afternoon, we come together to recognize February 2021 as Black History Month, with the theme being the Black family, representation, identity, and diversity. I come before you to pay tribute to the Black excellence that has built and shaped our society despite the obstacles and hurdles that we have endured and continue to fight through. Today we celebrate our Blackness without reservation or hesitation, but with pride and honor. If we are to ponder the theme for this year, Black family, representation, identity, and diversity, without a shadow of a doubt, many of us will automatically defer to our historical oppression, ancestors' enslavement, and marginalization. From the days when we were treated as property and identified as everything but human, when our families were intentionally torn apart and dismantled to create wealth, status, and stability, while the Black family system suffered complex trauma, dehumanized treatment, brokenness, and identity and worth deprivation. To a time when we as a people are saying no more of the same, where we are saying I am Black and I am proud, where we are positioning ourselves to be represented in positions of power and influence across all industries that shine a light on our talent, our value, and our passion, where we are infiltrating systems to champion change that creates space for diversity, equity, and real inclusion for us, where we are shouting our humanity matters, our struggle matters, our accomplishments matter, our lives matter, and our Black excellence matters. At a time when we can look at leaders in this country and see a woman of color as the first female vice president just elected, and prior to that having a Black first family in the White House, many would say that we've made it, we've arrived, progression is happening. But if we are to take a step back and reflect on what I call the Black family, the proof is evident that the majority of us have not reached a place of feeling accomplished and feeling like we have made it. Not because we have not tried, not because we have not worked, not because we have persevered, but because we are working against a system that was not built to support us, to empower us, or to create success for us. Let us take a moment to reflect on who has power and influence and who is depicted in a positive light and not villainized, stereotyped, or put into the confines of an oppressive societal box. The veracity of the Black family is complex, often depicted as unstable, hopeless, financially bound, lacking direction, and dysfunctional. While the white family is depicted as well-off, happy, healthy, successful, and the standard. Our stories may not align with perfection, but let's be real, neither does that of dominant culture. It is in these moments that our truth must be heard loud and clear. We are declaring the Black family, the Black community, and the Black experience as valuable, as powerful, as majestic, as graceful, as driven, as principled, and as flourishing. It is not merely enough to speak our truth during Black History Month, but rather to speak and live our authentic truth throughout the year. Our trials, tribulations, victories, and achievements expand far beyond the month of February. Black brilliance and power can be found weaved throughout our existence, and we will continue to rewrite the narrative of the Black family and continue to break barriers, challenge the status quo, and create opportunities for our contributions to be highlighted and embraced. Again, thank you all for your time and attention today. I wish you all love, light, and laughter, and I will pass it on to the next testimony.
You're up, Donovan.
Can y'all hear me? Okay. I'm only asking, my Zoom has been lagging when I unmute, so y'all must be special or something that wants to act right. So I was invited here to speak about the Black family. In doing so, I'm gonna present a question. When are we gonna actually invest in the generational futures of Black families in the city of Portland? I'm gonna tell the story of my mom, Laverne Ballard, to help guide this question. For years, my mom has been driving for TriMet. And it's funny now, everyone's calling her an essential worker now that she's gambling with her life every day. but for many years, she was just another uniform. After years of paying rent on 42nd, first on Killingsworth, then up the street on Sumner, my mom was able to do something nobody in our immediate family had done again since my great-grandmother and become a homeowner. I'd watch her come home every day after working overtime shifts with just enough energy to make a good meal before going to bed to do it all over again. Just enough to keep that roof our roof. Then a decade of injuries from turning the bus wheel finally caught up with her. She still tried to work, but was assigned to what they call light duty. But then her supervisor denied her of that. Then the crazy thing about it, she was fired for missing too much work. She applied for another job within the company, then denied, then another, then she was denied. And then just like history does, history repeated itself again and she was denied. So she finally launched a lawsuit against her employer, mapping out a clear system that governs TriMet, one for Black employees and one for white employees. And we know which one was wrong. Our house became filled with papers with her trying to prove that they were wrong. Some days you would have thought she was the lawyer. The supervisor who fired her called her arrogant and said he wanted to make sure that she never worked there again in an email. This is the type of place that we're talking about. By the time I graduated high school, his dreams were about true. With mounds of legal and medical fees, she was left bankrupt and lost her home. While she was on the phone with Wells Fargo, trying to work out a plan to stop the foreclosure, they told her on the phone that the house had been sold. It had been auctioned. Just like that. After years of doing all the right things, working a decent job, working overtime, buying a house, what was she left with to show for all the essential work that she had been doing? She's been a renter ever since that day we last shut the door to our home. Now, I did say in my opening that my mom currently is an essential worker. That's because she's working for TriMet again. But why? It's because after years in the courts, they finally were forced to settle with her through a federal agreement or federal case that forced them to reinstate her. They even had to adopt a policy that was unofficially named after her called the Ballard Rules. No formal apology was issued, just her job back and a trail of debts with little change. When she first purchased that home in the early 2000s, it was about $189,000. When it sold again last year, it was worth nearly $500,000. By the time I'm her age, 51, how much do you think that house will be worth? How much do you think it'll be worth by the time that I have kids and they're adults? She's now in the very same units on 42nd and Sumner that she had escaped to become a homeowner, paying American Property Management to have a roof over her head each month. You'd be a fool to say it was for any other reason than TriMet. Now, y'all might be wondering what any of this has to do with city council. Well, it is worth mentioning that TriMet is a quasi-governmental agency. All that redlining and being bust and demolitions, we're descendants of that. See, we talk a lot about equity and we talk a lot about correcting wrongs in the city, but where's the justice for my mom? Every day, today, as we're talking, she's literally risking her life at that same job to return to a home she doesn't even own through no fault of her own. Let's really think about the question I presented at the beginning. When are we actually going to invest in the futures of Black families in the city of Portland. When faced with a decision to expand the Interstate Urban Renewal area, the mayor said twice in this space, once in December during testimony, then again during the vote, which council would unanimously take on, that vote was not restorative justice. And if that wasn't restorative justice, then I have to ask, what was it? See, when we're forced with decisions around truly reckoning with restitution, we're met with platitudes without urgency. We meet the calls for defunding our local military that we call the police, not even halfway, while spending millions on overtime to allow them to poison our citizens amidst calls for Black liberation. And it's great to hear that reparations are now part of the city's federal push. And I encourage everybody to look up HR 40. But what about repairing the harms that are happening locally for people like my mom, for my mom? Stolen wealth is injustice. In order to restore our communities, we must actually account for what has been taken through generations and invest accordingly. We must institutionalize restitution and make sure the wrongs of people that make the wrongs done to people like my mom are made right by making sure she has house keys to her own home again. This is the Black future that we need in the city of Portland. Thank you.
Next, we have Ariana Moorhead.
Hi, my name is Ariana Moorhead. I am your Miss Black Teen Oregon International Ambassador 2020. And within my platform, or within my pageant, my platform is sexual misrepresentation. I have more information about that on my Instagram at Ariana the Revolutionary. So it's Ariana the Revolutionary. And I couldn't write a testimony because I can't put into words how I feel about everything, like my Black community in Portland. So I just want to start off by kind of saying what Donovan was saying. Gentrification is a big problem in Portland, and it's just like sad to see that what used to be my grandpa's house, my great grandpa's house, where my aunts and uncles and my mom grew up in, is now a coffee shop, a really popular coffee shop that's making a lot of money because my grandpa was forced to move out of his house. And that's heartbreaking because it's like, well, if we've already lived in Northeast Portland before, where can we go? Where can we go that's affordable for us? Where can we go that's convenient for us? They're only moving us to places that are convenient for the city so that they can build mansions and apartments that are skyscrapers. Like, it's just pointless. My Wi-Fi might be a little trippy, so if it cuts out, just let me know. So being one of the youngest people a part of the Black Lives Matter movement, especially in Portland, it's very traumatizing. It's a lot of work that I have to put in, and it seems like our government officials just don't care about me. They don't care about me getting tear gas. They don't care about anything. They don't care that I'm having to fight for my life on the streets of Portland because of the police. Sorry about that, my aunt's phone is ringing. They don't care that the police have beaten me, shot rubber bullets at me. They don't care, and that's a problem. That we need to care. Caring for, if, I'm so sorry, but Commissioner, I've called you out for it again. I've called you out for it one time, and I'll call you out for it again. You need to change that. You need to help your Black youth. Sorry to get a little sidetracked right there, but This stuff is really heavy on my heart because it's like you don't get a lot of opportunities to express this or, you know, talk. Well, I have plenty of opportunities, but not on like webinars and stuff like this. So, our community in Portland is struggling. We're struggling constantly as far as gentrification, racism, discrimination in Portland, just in Portland. Being Black in America is already hard enough, but being Black in a white supremacy state is even harder. What have you guys done about the white supremacists that have sent me death threats, have attacked our Black activists? What are you gonna do? It is Black History Month. Why hasn't the city planned something for Black History Month, like big event? I understand that there's COVID, but there's more you can do than sitting behind a screen signing papers that continue abusing us and tear gassing us and doing all this other stuff that they've been doing. That's all you can do because you guys have so much power and you guys are not gonna do anything to change that because all you're getting is money. All you're making is profit off of us, off of our pain, off of our trauma, and that is not okay.
Sorry, I'm kind of.
I've dedicated my whole life to this movement. I've dedicated my whole life. I'm graduating a year early. I'm going to an HBCU, but it's so exhausting. It is so exhausting. It's exhausting, but it's worth the fight. And I hope that I'm getting riled up because like I'm starting to get into, you know, everything, but my activism in Portland should show how desperate I want change. It should show how much I want justice for Black Lives Matter. Everything that I've been doing, it should have been paid off by now, but no, it hasn't. And so that's why, sorry, my computer just glitched. But Ted, that's why you keep getting harassed in public, because you're not doing anything to change our problems that we've been having. That's why you keep getting harassed. And if you just change that, if you showed your dedication for your Black community in Portland, same with you, Joanne. If you guys did that, then maybe something would change on you guys' behalf. You guys would stop being harassed, but you guys aren't doing anything about it. So what do you think is going to keep happening? Black history. Why isn't it a curriculum in schools? Don't you think I'm tired? I've been in high school for years. Don't you think I'm tired? Don't you think I'm tired about hearing how my people were beat, killed, hung? I still have to hear that. I am a senior in high school. I've been learning about slavery since fourth grade. Don't you think I'm tired of that? You guys have so much power to make change. This is your month to step up and actually do something. It is Black History Month. There needs to be some type of change in Portland. Yes, I'm glad that we might be getting reparations, but that's not enough. That cannot make up for all the other things that you've done. Reparations is just a start. Next, we have to work on getting justice.
Thank you, Ariana. In the sake of time, I'd like to transition to Dr. Smith. I appreciate your passion and your tenacity. Thank you.
Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Markeisha Smith, and I'm the director for our Office of Equity and Human Rights. And just gonna share a few words. It's been I don't know if I have much to add, but I will read what I have prepared here. So today we come together to affirm our commitment to our city core values of anti-racism and equity by collectively acknowledging February 2021 as Black History Month. This year's theme, the Black Family, Representation, Identity, and Diversity, is a perfect way to honor the beauty, strength, and vitality of the Black family and community. Despite the continuous threats that inequitable anti-Black systems and structures impose on the sustainability of Black families, the blessings of our ancestors, resiliency, and Black excellence could not be defeated. And as Commissioner Hardesty mentioned earlier, may we all be reminded that the history and contributions of Black folks should be honored, embraced, and celebrated every day of the year. I would like to end with a poem by the late poet laureate Maya Angelou entitled The Black Family Pledge. And in my analysis of this poem, I feel like it's a call to remember who we are and the power of our active truth and history. And I love poetry, so those of you that know me know that. So the Black Family Pledge. Because we have forgotten our ancestors, our children no longer give us honor. Because we have lost the path our ancestors cleared, kneeling in perilous undergrowth, our children cannot find their way. Because we have banished the God of our ancestors, our children cannot pray. Because the old wells of our ancestors have faded beyond our hearing, our children cannot hear us crying. Because we have abandoned our wisdom of mothering and fathering, our befuddled children give birth to children they neither want nor understand. Because we have forgotten how to love, the adversary is within our gates and holds us up to the mirror of the world shouting, regard the loveless. Therefore, we pledge to bind ourselves to one another, to embrace our lowliest, to keep company with our loneliness, to educate our illiterate, to feed our starving, to clothe our ragged, to do all good things, knowing that we are more than keepers of our brothers and sisters. We are our brothers and sisters. In honor of those who toiled and implored God with golden tongues, and in gratitude to the same God who brought us out of hopeless desolation, we make this pledge. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you.
Thank you, and thank you to all of our speakers. I'm gonna ask my colleagues if they'd like to make any statements before I read the resolution.
Commissioner Hardesty, I would, but I'll defer to the mayor.
Yes, Commissioner Mapps, please, go ahead.
Okay, Commissioner Hardesty, colleagues, thank you for this opportunity to share this important moment with you. Black History Month is important to me. Obviously, this is a topic close to my heart. The story of African Americans in Portland is the tale of tragedy and triumph. This is part of my story, and regardless of the color of your skin, it is part of your story too. The history of African Americans dates back to at least 1788. And about 60 years later, Oregon's provincial government passed the first of Oregon's Black exclusion laws. Those laws stated that Blacks who settled in Oregon would be publicly whipped 39 times, repeated every 6 months, until they left the state. Well, looking around the Zoom call this morning, you can tell that we are still here. And over time, the Black exclusion laws were repealed. But you know, the last Black exclusion law was repealed fewer than 100 years ago. And 69 years later, after the last of Oregon's Black exclusion laws were repealed, our friend and colleague Joanne Hardesty became, I believe, the fifth African American to be elected to Oregon State Legislature. And of course, Hardesty is also the first Black woman to serve on Portland City Council. I think accomplishments like that deserve recognition. That's why I'd like to take a moment to thank Commissioner Hardesty for her service to our city and to our people. Commissioner Hardesty, you are a true Portland trailblazer. Now, the emergence of Black office holding in Portland is both a sign of how far we've come and a sign of how much work there is left to be done. And indeed, there is much work left to be done. In Portland today, African Americans are both more likely to be the victims of crime and more likely to be subject to arrest than their white neighbors. Here in Portland, there is no neighborhood where the average Black family can afford the average rent. Here in Portland, African Americans are more likely to catch COVID and succumb to the disease than their white neighbors. Now, I think we are the generation of Portlanders who must right these wrongs. Our work is to guarantee civil rights, social justice, and economic opportunities for today's generation of African Americans and for future generations of African Americans. By keeping that promise, we affirm the following self-evident truth: Black lives matter. Thank you, Commissioner Hardesty. I'll cede my time.
Thank you, Commissioner Mapps. Mayor Wheeler, your hand went up next, and then I see Commissioner Rubio.
Commissioner, with your forbearance, I'll defer to Commissioner Rubio.
Excellent. Commissioner Rubio.
Thank you, Commissioner Hardesty, and thank you everyone for this important proclamation and the recognition of Black families and individuals' experiences in the city, and also the tremendous contributions to this to our city as well. And I also want to extend an appreciation to the African American Network for your work every day, bringing your full selves to your jobs in service of all of Portland, and for lifting up the experiences and voices that all of that brings, and places for us to do work and improve and make things better at the City of Portland, and for every day, not just this month. And after a year of advocacy and change, I can't think of a better way to honor Black lives than to focus on the beauty and resilience of Black people and Black families. And I especially love the quote in the proclamation that I read that talks specifically about the attacks on the Black family and that they've been intended to harm the African-American community. And in many instances, I'm quoting, and in many instances, it's created deeper and more determined roots from which a foundation of incredible strength, resiliency, beauty, creativity, love, and unity, growth, in addition to all of the amazing contributions in those areas. Because this is true, a whole generation of new activists, leaders, thinkers, who are gonna have way more to contribute than any of us do in this meeting today, will continue to shape and be shaped by the strength of purpose in these challenging times, and also shaped by the love and the joy that exists in our communities and our people, and the resilience that's there and alive and well in Black families, and that's passed on from generation to generation. And this lives despite, you know, our nation and our state's history of white supremacy. It continues to grow and to nourish and thrive, and our community supports and strengthens one another, and remains the reason that we need to continue to tell the stories of our grandparents and our aunties and our uncles, and know our history. It's evident that this new, given our new reality where white nationalism has become more mainstream, it's now critical and more important than ever. So I sit here today very keenly aware of the legacy of the Black exclusion laws that Commissioner Mapps talked about, and recognize that it took well over 100 years before Commissioner Hardesty, Commissioner Mapps, and I would actually even be able to sit together today in this meeting, elected in a citywide election on Portland City Council. So I want to draw attention to all of this because we as members of councils, I mean, we believe that things need to change. I strongly believe Black Lives Matter, as do I know all my colleagues do. And as such, we must act on these beliefs, as some of you have mentioned. And so many Portlanders have demanded us over this last year that we do so. So this includes authenticity, right? This includes rebuilding trust, or even establishing trust where trust has never existed. And also, you know, authentic dialogue and engagement on what we know that matters. And that means squarely first, before you can talk about future, addressing past physical and economic violence on Black families caused by all the things that were mentioned: displacement, gentrification, loss of generational wealth, substitute conversations about reparations and what that actually means, to make sure that we're using the same definitions when we say reparations. Taking action about reimagining community safety, which, you know, we're well underway to do that as well, and police accountability. But also, as well as that, recognizing Black communities growing in immeasurable contributions to the community, community building, wealth creation, business innovation, arts and culture, culinary arts, education. There's so many things where Black life is Oregon life. It's our collective work to ensure that city government acts on our values, because when Black families thrive, Portland thrives. Black history is American history and Oregon history as well. So we need to walk our talk, continue to act on our values, and do the hard work to rebuild systems that are for so long kept so many Black Portlanders and other communities on the outside and have to work around the system just to sit, receive the same kinds of support. So I'm really moved by everything I've heard today. I'm also really proud to listen to these words and also proud that we have leaders like we have here today working on behalf of community. And we need to hear more of these experiences to build relevant and community-centered work like we've heard today, and where Black community experiences the presence of justice in just merely living every day. So I will continue to thoughtfully consider the things that I've heard, and I know that my colleagues are very interested in that as well. We've talked about it in our one-on-one conversations and collectively as well. And I look for more opportunities that are authentically open to doing that. I'm also extremely hopeful and excited to sit on a council with Commissioner Hardesty and Commissioner Mapps and my other colleagues in this critical time of change, because I really do believe and I'm hopeful that we have an unprecedented opportunity to grapple with Portland's racist legacy in real, meaningful ways. So I, for more, want to learn more. I want to learn how to be of service in my role and how we can all collectively do more to work towards that permanent presence of justice in our city. So thank you, Commissioner Hardesty and Mayor, for bringing this forward.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Rubio. Commissioner Ryan, you get to go next.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Hardesty and Mayor, for bringing this not just to the council, but also making it a very special moment in time. The one agenda item, it's worth it. And it's great that we're here together and focused. I also really want to pause and thank the city's African American Network. You're the reason why I got so much out of this time that we're here together. And I do need to call out Donovan Smith. I really appreciate you telling the story of your mother. It was very moving, and it's having an impact on me listening to that story. I think, like a lot of people, I learn from stories. On that note, I want to acknowledge when I was in high school, Roosevelt, in the late 70s, I want to acknowledge my English teacher who was at least ahead of her time and had us read African-American literature. And from that moment on, James Baldwin's been my favorite writer. Giovanni's Room is my favorite book of his. And I'll just take a moment to recall when I was living in New York in 1987 and his funeral was nearby where I lived. And I'll never forget that day. And all the people that were going to the cathedral to honor his life, even though he had to leave our country to actually have a good life so that he could actually do his art. As a queer, as an African-American, he didn't feel safe in our country. But he did come home at the end of his life to be honored. Anyway, I just want you to know how much I celebrate African-American history throughout the year. I was reminded there's one every 4 years, there's 366 days. I was gonna say 365. But I've always agreed with people wondering why African American History Month is the shortest month of the year. That's not right. So it is something I celebrate year round. And for me, I learn and I go deeper through artists. So whether it's an author, whether it's musicians, whether it's playwrights, I've always been attracted to African American artists and playwrights. And that's what feeds my soul to have a deeper understanding. So I just will continue to do my ally learning, my listening, my advocacy, and to be with this team at the Portland City Council to make sure that we are challenging always to go deeper, to go farther for justice. Thank you for being here today. I'm humbled. Thanks.
Thank you, Commissioner Ryan. Mayor Wheeler.
Thank you, Commissioner Hardesty. Thank you, colleagues, and thank you to everybody who spoke today. For too long, I think all of us can agree that the dominant culture created a history which intentionally sought to minimize and often erase the stories of Black Americans. Each February, we work to correct this, but as Commissioner Ryan just said, it should be each and every day. And I'm deeply appreciative of the time that people took to be here today and to share their stories from the heart, from their lived experience. And I appreciate the call to accountability. Black History Month is an opportunity both to uplift and to honor Black Americans who've shaped our society in extremely important ways. We recognize the vast contributions Black Americans have made throughout history in science, in medicine, art, education, human rights, sports, finance, politics, and many, many other areas. We recognize the Black leaders who risked their very lives to lead social movements in the name of justice and equity. And those movements continue to this very day. John Lewis comes to mind. And we recognize contemporary Black Americans who are leading our country to a better future, including Kamala Harris, our country's first Black vice president. Black History Month is also a moment to reflect on the countless barriers faced by Black Americans, not only in the past, but as we heard from our testimony today, all the way into the present day. These barriers are fortified by white supremacy. This year's Black History Month is themed the Black Family, Representation, Identity, and Diversity. For centuries, Black families have been marginalized by our society, and we heard some of the history of that here today. Slavery, of course, violently ripped Black families apart. Oregon's founding documents, as we heard earlier, forbade African American families from even settling here. And our own city has an ugly history of discrimination against Black families through unjust laws and redlining. It's important that we speak these truths because until we acknowledge, we cannot understand. And until we understand, we cannot overcome. And we cannot move forward together until we have had that opportunity. It's a painful process. And for those who are directly impacted generationally through their lived experience, we heard the word used today, exhausting. And I've heard that before, and that is an extra added burden on top of traumas already realized and already personally felt. And I want to acknowledge that, and I want to thank you, because I understand that even coming here today and sharing these stories, this testimony, inflicts more trauma. I acknowledge that, and I thank you for being willing to absorb that for the benefit of this council and this community. Despite all of this, Black families have continued to be sources of incredible resilience and strength and love. In order to create a society that is truly equal for all, we must correct the misdeeds of the past. In 2020, our city council unanimously passed a resolution that named anti-racism and equity as two of our city's core values. We center these values in every decision we make as a council. We're committed to making Portland a place where all Black individuals and families can thrive. Because if Black individuals and families are not thriving, then our community is not whole. Through acknowledging both the past and the present, I am confident, I am optimistic that we can build a better future, not only for all of us who are here, but for the generations that come. Through celebrating Black History Month, we take a step that I think is important. We use it to strengthen our collective understanding of history. With this collective knowledge, we can create a society that is safe, that is supportive, and that is just for all Black Portlanders. Again, I appreciate all the work that people put into this, to Can, to the folks who testified, to Commissioner Hardesty, Commissioner Mapps. Thank you to all of my colleagues. This is an important acknowledgement, but it's just that, and it's an acknowledgement. This isn't the work, but through this acknowledgement, we are committing to that work. And I have nothing but complete confidence that the public will continue to hold us accountable to ensure that our deeds match our words. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. And thank you to all of my colleagues. Your words were very heartfelt and greatly appreciated. Donovan Smith, I've known you for about a decade. And today I learned something about the legacy and the shoulders you stand on. And I want you to know how grateful I am that you took this moment today to share that legacy, because it is not an unfamiliar legacy to me, and certainly to any other African-American who has lived in the United States of America for 60 some plus years. And so you honor your mom by being here today and sharing your story, and I'm grateful. Thank you. I want to tell Miss Teen Oregon that though I appreciate her advocacy, my mom taught me a long time ago that you get more with sugar than vinegar. What I have seen over the last year is an acknowledgement that I never thought I would see in my entire lifetime. I saw a global movement for Black lives. I saw activities happen that I expected would not happen here at City Hall, at least until my second term. I saw us declare that Black employees and employees needed grief leave, and it was approved unanimously, and it happened. I saw this council make Juneteenth a national holiday. I saw this council, and let me say that the majority of the council today was not here last year when this movement began. I have an expectation that with this council, with four-fifths of the city council being grassroots community people, that the conversations, the dialogue, and the investments we make will be a lot different. I want Ms. Teen Oregon to understand, in order to do anything on a city council, you need 3 votes. We like 5 votes, because that means that we are all in lockstep, but 3 votes will do. There were some things we didn't do last year that I wish we had. And one of those was to fund CAN, so that CAN did not have to come constantly looking for resources to actually help educate other city employees and the public about the value of Black lives and the Black lived experience. And that's why my budget funded this year's programs for CAN, because I made a personal commitment. As the first Black woman on Portland City Council, I take offense when people say to me that I am not doing things for Black people. Now, I may not be doing what you want me to do in this moment, but I have been a Black woman for 60 some odd years. And until the day I take my last breath, I will be a Black woman. I spent the first 6 months on this council proving that I was smart enough, that I did my homework, that I had the data, that I read it, that I analyzed it, and I knew policy. I had to prove that when I took my seat. I had to prove that I was not the angry Black woman that was just going to come in and just create hell throughout the city of Portland. I have earned my seat, and I will continue to earn my seat because I know who I represent. I represent who I've always represented, those voices that aren't in the room, those people that don't get invited to the table, those people whose lives are impacted by every decision we make. So while I don't mind anybody disagreeing with me on the policy positions I take, I will not accept anyone telling me that I have done less than an optimal job in representing Black voices and bringing those voices into City Hall and creating spaces where those voices matter. I can tell you every bureau that I've had in my portfolio, I have met with every Black employee in those bureaus, and I'm doing it with my new bureaus. I meet with the other employees, I meet with everybody. But I made sure that those Black employees knew that they could talk to me. And so today is really about celebrating the Black family, but I did not want this opportunity to pass without being very clear. We can talk about disagreements and policy, but you will never approach me telling me who I represent. I know who I am. I know what I have to do every day to stay in this position. And I am proud of every decision that I've made that has moved equity, justice, fairness into city policy and practices. And I will continue to do that. So I'm sorry I went off on my own little tangent there. I am now, but I wanted to be clear. You can disagree with me on policy, but you will never get into a debate with me about where my loyalty lies. I have a history. When your history is as deep as mine, you can challenge whether or not I'm doing enough. Thank you very much, Ken, for what you do every day for the city of Portland. Thank you for your bravery. Thank you for crying with us last year as we all went through a series of traumas. It was in our face. We could not avoid it. But guess what? You came to work every day. You gave the city 110%. And you continue to be the best ambassadors that the city of Portland has about who we are, how we do our work, and how we value Black, Indigenous, other communities of color, and honestly, everyone else in our city. Because guess what? When we center Black, Indigenous, and other voices of color, everybody else will benefit. Thank you. This is a great opportunity to celebrate Black History Month because me and my colleagues are planning on what a more just city looks like when we come out of this pandemic. And we need everybody. This is an all hands on deck opportunity, but we need people who really are gonna do the hard work. It's easy to be critical, but it's a little harder to stay at the table for 30 years when no one else is listening. Now, let me read the resolution. And by the way, again, the resolution is from all of us on the Portland City Council. Whereas the city of Portland takes pride in joining Americans throughout the country and recognizing February 2021 as Black History Month. Whereas Black History Month recognizes and pays tribute to the contributions that African Americans have made to American history and their struggles for freedom, equality, and deepens our understanding of our shared history. The theme for 2021, the Black family, representation, identity, and diversity, acknowledges the historic and modern day challenges faced by people of African descent, denied opportunities to be represented, void of limits, stereotypes, and distortions that tend to marginalize and perpetrate the negative perceptions created and sustained by the ideas and actions of white supremacy, and all of its direct and indirect impacts and applications. And whereas the Black family has historically been a target of attack and disregard since the beginnings of this country, when Black individuals were dehumanized and treated as property, and families were torn apart for profit. And whereas generations of African Americans, individuals, families, and communities have played a significant role in protesting the necessity for Black individuals and families to be viewed and valued as full human beings, respected, dignified, and worthy. And whereas local laws and business practices were established to exclude African American families and ensure their representation were limited to certain areas and restricted from being represented in others. And whereas the Black family has been subject to discrimination due to media and entertainment, reinforcing stereotypes that demonstrate ignorance around the diversity that exists within the Black community. And whereas we believe emphasis needs to be put on putting forward people of African descent in all of our complex and multifaceted humanity, rather than relying on tired stereotypes to perpetrate negative perceptions. And whereas, as we commend the many achievements, successes, and contributions of African Americans in various movements, as they have been a significant risk of Black representation and diversity locally and nationally in many contexts. And whereas the attacks on the Black family have been intended to harm the African American community, and in many instances, it has created deeper, more determined roots from which a foundation of incredible strength, resiliency, beauty, creativity, love, and unity, supporting growth in the areas of education, science, medicine, arts, sports, financing, and politics. And whereas, to this day, millions of African Americans across the country are experiencing representations of themselves woven throughout government, politics, entertainment, spiritual sectors, medical and wellness industry, business, and media that inspires, motivates, and models attainable possibilities. And whereas there are few, if any, more beautiful than the loving touch of a strong Black mother, the kind, encouraging words of a strong Black father, the genuine respect and consideration of a strong, understanding child. And African Americans are prepared to go to battle for what should be rightfully ours. This preparedness is a part of our narrative and has cultivated our courage, drive, and resilience in the face of adversity, inequality, all of which is the identity of the Black family. And whereas inequality and injustice of Black people continue to plague our cities, states, and country, and it is the responsibility of residents to advance the American notion of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for all. And whereas acknowledging the significant contributions of how our diverse culture enriches and broadens the American experience, of which Black heritage is an inseparable part as it weaves throughout our country's history, profoundly influencing every aspect of our lives, as well as other dominant cultural groups. And whereas, despite many historic and present day obstacles and acts of oppression, the Black family has continually shown strength and resilience, a demonstration of our pride, our fortitude, and our hope to leave a better legacy for future generations. Now, therefore, I, Ted Wheeler, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, do hereby declare. My page closed. Do hereby declare the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim February 2021 to be Black History Month in Portland and encourage all residents to observe this month in this manner. Thank you all. Now, because we're doing this electronically, we usually would take a picture at this moment with the proclamation. We will make sure that Ken gets several copies of it. I'm not quite sure how that process works. Somebody else does that. But we will make sure that Ken is presented with this official proclamation. And again, thank each and every one of you for the hard work you did to get us to this space today. Mayor, that concludes the presentation for Black History Month.
Thank you, Commissioner Hardesty. Greatly appreciated. Thank you, colleagues. Thank you to all of the folks who helped organize this today. Thank you to everybody who testified today. Greatly appreciated. It was an important moment. That is our sole item for tonight's, this afternoon's agenda, and we are adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Bye-bye.